Hi, this is Mary H.K. Choi, and you're listening to Hey Cool Life, a micropod about mental health and creativity. This is episode 161. It is October 28th. I am still in Japan. It is interesting, fascinating, really, to see how differently I feel a week later. We've been in Tokyo for almost 2 weeks, and yeah, the jet lag has dispersed quite effectively. In fact, I had a massive lie-in this morning. It is past 10 a.m., which is scandalous for me. My partner and I were just kind of lolling and like having like massive scroll sessions on our phone. And it's really interesting to observe how infrequently like we allow ourselves to do that, which calls to mind how in the pursuit of gentleness, kindness, sort of like an even-keeled disposition, like how incredibly strict we can be with ourselves, and probably very like moralistic and judgy about our behaviors. It's like, you know, just the attitude of like, wait, oh no, we're late for meditation. And the fact that you can like even be late for it, or do it wrong, or things like that. So yeah, I'm kind of like slowly rolling in. And it's been kind of a crunchy time. I think I'm in the point, not quite halfway in our stay, where I am homesick. I'm alternately like vividly, wildly homesick. Like just like the sucker punch at 4 p.m. when I'm like, oh no, like I can't call my best friends, or, you know, like I feel like I'm completely out of the group chat. In a meaningful way, but then also like at the same time like desperately searching property values in the area, because now I'm like convinced I'm gonna move here. Certainly there is something really, really like not even like reassuring in the way that like I'm like, oh wow, this is like I feel safe constantly. It's more just the background of my operating system is well aware that I am surrounded by Asian people, and with that it's, you know, certain, I'm just gonna like belabor this metaphor, but like certain plugins don't have to work as hard. Like it's just that thing of feeling like less vigilant in a way that's really actually pretty quiet, but the effects can be like so palpably felt. Like, and you know, I say that the jet lag dissipating is kind of an interesting thing, because I'm sort of coming into how tired I am. My partner and I hosted my in-laws, his actual family. Not to make a distinction between in-laws, like your in-laws could feel like your family, like who am I to judge? But, you know, we got here after like a pretty full-on time span of like hosting. Like also, I feel like everybody was in town in October. Like my brother was also in town. And so we were really tired when we got here. And so I think that the sort of like propulsive thrust to be like, okay, now you've got to go on a 15-hour flight. All of that stuff was like so adrenaline focused, and now that that's sort of fallen away, I'm like confronted by not only fatigue but also just great emotion. I love being manic, like as you heard, and if you listened to the last episode, like I'm so productive, I feel so high. It's that sort of high that gets like, ooh, where it's like, I'm already manic, but let me go into town real quick and buy a pair of shoes. And now that key bump is like really hitting. And I am just off to the races in a way that feels great. And like, I really do consider myself an addict and cross addicted across like so many verbs, not only the eating disorder, but workaholism and, you know, obsessive looping, recursive thoughts. Like, you know, I'm even, I think, attracted to feeling bad about myself. Like, I've shared again about if I'm super, super anxious, I often make myself a little bit late or threaten to be late with my like transit timing, so that, you know, like I'll be like plucking my eyebrows before I'm supposed to, like during the time I'm supposed to leave. And knowing that I have so much hypervigilance around time blindness and having ADHD and autism, like, it's like really loud and I really hate myself. And that sometimes feels good before something, meeting someone I'm anxious about, because then it sort of psychologically, or I guess like emotionally, feels like not only familiar, because like I've always felt that way, but also that I now have control over the outcome of something. Like, if I'm now responsible for my own miserableness, then I'm almost like inoculated against the promise of any threat of miserableness ahead. Like, I'm clearly anxious meeting this person because they can disappoint me in some way, or I can disappoint them and then want to die. So let me just be a little bit late so I know why I feel bad. So that's a fun thing that happens. There's a siren. Yeah, so now that I am sleeping more and allowing myself to have that sleep and to function a little slower, and I've started to reintegrate some of the practice that helped me be in my body, like journaling, meditation, taking naps is a really huge one for me. A 15-minute nap every day after lunch is the thing that I think more than anything will stave off a meltdown or a skirmish or me hating myself a lot by like 6:30. And that's how I process anxiety. Like, I can tell based on the valve of like how much I hate myself. And so like, I'm also finally sort of getting present for other feelings. Like, I feel grief walking around here because it's so clean and everyone seems to know what they're doing and where they're going. And the, like, there are aspects of it that seem strict. Like, everybody walks on the sidewalk in one direction. There's no trash. You sort of have to like assign yourself a trash pocket in your clothing if you're out all day, and then just deposit it in your local 7-Eleven or Lawson's. And because there's always a trash can somewhere, because there's always a convenience store somewhere. But all of these things like really remind me of how much just like hardship, poverty, mental illness, and I'm not suggesting there's no poverty here or mental illness. Like, I heard that the minimum wage here is like $6, and I'm not suggesting that like life here is perfect. It's more just that for whatever reason, as a tourist in the neighborhood I'm staying in, it's just not something I encounter all the time. And obviously the rose-colored glasses of a place you visit versus the place that you live. And in my neighborhood on the Lower East Side in New York, like, you just see so many things all the time that cannot be accounted for and or cannot be anticipated. And so there is just a vigilance. And I am still really aware that when I put an offer on the apartment that we did, that there were so many attacks going. You know, COVID was happening. It was like a very anti-East Asian time, and there were lots of women being attacked, and like that was just something I was carrying. And so I have grief that I don't have that right now here in this moment, that specific grief. And I can feel that. And so, you know, I'm in that place where there's capacity and bandwidth to feel that grief, but, you know, in me trying to be gentle, I think it's like to lead with joy, like instead of like already missing it because I don't live here and I'm gone, or like expending too much time trying to prolong it by looking up like apartments to rent. It's just, can I frame it so that I can lead with gratitude, enthrallment? Like, I am enthralled by this place. Like, and the reason why I feel that grief is because I am engaged and I am here to be present for all these feelings. And I get it. Like, I get why I would want to prolong fatigue, why I would want to protract mania, because like I don't have to feel that grief, but then that enthrallment is also really muted. There is this weird thing that is happening also, which is that, you know, it's October, late October, here in Tokyo, and when I first moved away from Hong Kong to America, I would visit Hong Kong like at the end of the year, like kind of my Christmas break, which the weather is very similar. It's a little bit warmer here now, but it's basically all winter you can like get by with like a thin hoodie, like not even like a thick, like crazy yarn count. It's just like ostensibly like a long t-shirt with a hood. And so that's the weather here. And there is something so discombobulating and slightly disembodying about the fact that I just went to Mousy, which is a store here, and I bought a pair of jeans that I had when I was 19. When I was still visiting Hong Kong at around this time of year. And I bought a pair of lug-heeled platform loafers that I swear to God are like shoes I owned at 19 and 20, and they're back, and like everything is back, and everyone is dressed exactly like people my age at the time that I was visiting Asia, very close to the time I was living there. And there is a part of me, like this teenage part of me, that is really bewildered. It's like Freaky Friday. It's like any, you know, throwback body switch, like back in time flux capacitor shit, because I am walking around. My body is super keenly aware that I am in Asia. Something about like the air quality, like the moisture in the air, the smells, the tenor of the air, like the faces, the experience of walking near a highway or walking into small, very hilly neighborhoods to get from one place to another, the subway, like the crush of pedestrians. Like, it really is like I'm completely back in time, and there are these moments where I'm frankly stunned that I am as old as I am, that 20 years have passed, that, you know, it's almost like the simulation is like on a loop, because I'm like, I can't believe I'm looking at wearing the clothes of and feeling like this is like 20 years ago. And I talk about this because the real distinction, if I'm actually in my body, if I'm actually present enough to feel the gratitude around the rarity of this experience and the specificity of this experience, like I can really gauge the difference between how I was to myself 20 years ago versus how I am to myself now, despite every knee-jerk urge and every first inclination actually still being identical. Like, I share about how when I wake up, like, I hate myself, I feel like I'm late, I feel like someone is mad at me. That is a product of undiagnosed neurodivergency. It's the product of my family system, my family of origin being really specific. It's a product of being an immigrant. It's a product of not fitting into the old world or the new world and not really feeling like I have a place in between. You know, all of these things have always been there. They are so identifiable. They feel so fixed and concrete. They feel so convincing. And yet, at 19, I felt nothing. Like, I would get high on anything. Like, I was, like, the eating disorder had already been going on for, like, probably closer to, like, 6 to 7 years, which is sad, but that's the reality of my story. Like, I was, I didn't have to like feel grief or sadness or joy or enthrallment because I was obsessed with whether you were thinner than me. I was obsessed with, you know, looking at myself in every pants, like passive reflective surface. Like, I could get high on feeling not good about my clothes. I was smoking like 20 cigarettes a day. I was getting drunk all the time. I was the type of person too, and it's miraculous that I didn't end up in Sex and Love Addictions Anonymous, where I would get high on becoming better friends with your boyfriend than you were. Like, I really did spend a lot of time being that person also. Again, it's miraculous that I have any friends, or I did have any friends at that time. Like, yeah, like I was just not in my body, being sneaky, being inebriated, being conniving, hating myself, and like applying so much energy into collecting more evidence about why I should hate myself. And that is not where I go anymore that much. Not to say that it's perfect. And so I am so profoundly grateful. Like, I shared about like affirmations and doing affirmations. And one of the things that me and my partner have started doing, you know, and just to get current, like if you didn't listen to that one, like my affirmations are very basic. They're for people who don't really believe in affirmations, or for whom like the really lofty ones aren't applicable. Like, I'm a goddess. That language is too vague for me. Like, my affirmations are, I am not in trouble. No one is mad at me. I am not late. And another one is like, I am smart. My brain is fun and exciting. I can love myself in any moment, no matter what. And the thing that I've been saying with my partner, just to be a mutual witness and kind of like apply that affirmation thinking, which weirdly very works. And I can say that because I wasn't doing them for like a few days while I was here. And the effects of not saying them is probably more palpable than the immediate effects of saying them. But a thing that my partner and I have been saying is, these are the best days of our lives. And what I mean by that is that we're both here. We're both able-bodied. We, for some reason, miraculously, despite a writer's strike this year, had enough resources to come here, because it's mostly underwritten by my partner's grants and like residency money. And for some reason, no matter what Reddits I looked at, no matter how much research I did, the thing that I could not anticipate would be such a gift is that for some reason, 90s fashions are really, really back, and like I will be able to like buy like artifacts, like relics from my past, and then like feel so much accessibility to the version of myself that I was 20 years ago, feel differently from that, appreciate the distance between the two, and really apply a lot of kindness, care, love, compassion, and patience, and presence, and attunement to that version of myself, and really just like thank that version. Like, you know, for better or worse, like all the cigarettes and like the drinking and the intrigue and, like, you know, the, like, fantasy romance stuff. Like, all those things saved my life. My eating disorder saved my life. Like, it really helped me feel like I had some control or some say in my life when I didn't know the things that I know now and don't have the support that I do now. And, like, I can turn to that person who was so filled with self-loathing and be like, I get it. And you're a genius. Like, everything you did makes so much sense. And I'm so grateful that you were as resourceful and that you so desperately wanted to live and, like, be here and, like, want to be here. And it all makes sense. And we don't have to do any of that anymore. And if we want to, it's okay, because that makes sense too. And if we do, even that is okay, because that makes so much sense and tells me so much data around how much pain you must be in this moment. And so, yeah, that is week two. Who knows where I will be in a week. We're going to Kyoto and Osaka, and I cannot even begin to imagine what the gift will be there. All I can say is no amount of research will probably reveal that to me, so hopefully I can just surrender. Anyway, I hope you can be gentle with yourself, sending so much love, and thank you for listening.